Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Larrabee Houston Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Oh, bless people. Wow. That's fantastic.
Good response.
Yeah, very cool. Welcome to the show. It's All About Wine. It is June 19th. There you go. Yeah, June 19th, Thursday, 7 p.m., just afterwards. And here we are for another award-winning week.
Award-winning.
Yes.
We sit around and Mike and I say, I think we're going to give us a reward, and we did.
That's it.
And that's
I will print that up. I'll print that up and get in the mail to you. So.
Okay, thanks. I can display it on the mantle.
Yeah, good idea. I just got a notice that we're under a severe thunderstorm warning yet again. So welcome to Florida.
Yeah,
it's I don't see it, but it looks blue to me out there. Who knows? So we're gonna. Every once in a while, we get off track, just like the intro says.
Tell the bus people. Tell the bus people.
Yes. Well, that's why they were all cheering. They were inside now. They see. They hear a clap of thunder. Yeah, they run inside if I don't lock the door. So.
Immediately. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
As long as they behave. Yeah, very cool. So welcome to the show, and we're going to eventually talk about wine tonight with Ron.
Yeah, eventually.
No guests tonight, so, you know, that's all right. We'll... He's well prepared, so
got a lot of stuff to share tonight and all that.
Yeah. So let's get going. If you want to join us on the phone, you can call us. We gave out the number earlier, and we'll give it out again before we, you know, close out the show.
Yeah.
Before we leave tonight, we'll give you the guest line number so you can call in. It's 646-727-3235. Call us now. Cool.
Call us now.
Here we go.
Operators are standing by.
Standing by, yes.
Which is Mike.
That's true. Thank you.
Yeah. Again, we have to remind everybody of Mike's radio program, music program, every Friday and Saturday nights on you can check out www.radiodjmike.com. There's links, there's information, everything there. So, again, every Friday and Saturday night, once you finish with us tonight, you can click on over and request songs and listen to Mike and
That's awesome.
3 hours are you each night?
Oh, no, it's 2 hours. No, I'm part-time. It's 2 hours.
2 hours. Yeah. 2 hours each time. Okay.
Seven to nine Eastern time.
Yeah. So, cool. RadioDJMike.com. Check it out and link to him and make requests and make him happy.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
hey.
Totally.
It's people, you have your followings too, just so, you know, we got to be sure, you have those. So, info night tonight, just some stuff. First, I want to start out with a little, couple of things here on the real estate. New paper came out today, and I want to pass these on because these are hot off the press. And one of these is a real good price. I was real excited about that. I was almost thinking, hey, that wouldn't be a bad deal for anybody. But we'll get to it in a minute. First one, Executive Country Estate. It says, live the dream without breaking the bank. 3,700 square foot custom home. 19.72 acres. Pretty good size. 4-bedroom, 3 full baths. Open concept floor plan. Vineyard and boutique winery. A vineyard and boutique winery barn for horses, 1.5-acre pond. That's a good-sized pond, too. Outside kitchen, easy commute to Sacramento. 2 hours at SFO, and that's San Francisco Oakland Airport. Home and country living that you will fall in love with. If you want to view the photos, I will give you. They even gave me a link here to view the photos. So if you want to view photos of this and you're interested in this, it doesn't give a price, but it says that without breaking
the bank. I was getting excited.
That
sounded like a nice, no price.
But
you don't want to know.
You can check out the photos at www.340 Fleming Road, FLEMINGRD.com. 340 Fleming Road, RD.com. So they got photos there, and they might have a price or link there or something. So check it out. I was getting excited, too, when I started reading it, and I thought, where's the price? Where's the price? But, hey. Russian River AVA property for sale. American Viticulture Area, AVA. Close to many top-rated Sonoma County wineries. 49.14 plus or minus acres. That always cracks me up. 49.14. That's pretty specific. Then they go plus or minus. So acre property with 6 parcels. 10 to 12 plus or minus acres are plantable vineyard ground plus pond plus well on the west side of Waller Road. I guess if you live in the Russian River area, you know that. A steel frame shop building is located on the east side of Waller Road. Zoning plus opportunity plus vision may allow for many potential uses. No price on that either. So, you know, give me a call or email me or something, and we'll give you contact information on that. This is the one I was pretty excited about. Missouri Ozarks Winery. 2,000 plus gallon capacity winery. Ozark Mountain AVA. So that could be anywhere from... Missouri River South in Missouri. Ozark Mountain AVA. Turnkey operation. Avoid lengthy startup time and startup cost. Owner retiring. New owner training is available. All this is, they're asking for this, $215,000. That's a good price. Especially if they already have a winery up and running and all that, and they've got vineyards and stuff. That is a good price. So, again, if you're interested, if you're in the Missouri Ozarks area, or if you fell in love with it, you got to remember the Missouri Ozarks area is Branson, Missouri, which is now one of the big country and music capitals of the United States, which is always fascinates me because last time I was in Branson, Missouri, it consisted of 8 buildings, and two of those, or three of those were houses, were people's houses. So that was the last time I was in Branson. That's what I, that was there. So always fascinates me now that it is such a big music capital. So, but this shouldn't be too far away from that. Another one, Sierra Foothills Winery and Vineyard, La Bella Rosa Winery and Vineyard on 37 acres in the heart of the Gold Country, offers a custom villa. And Gold Country is pretty cool, too. That's, you know, San Francisco, east of San Francisco there. And it's there's a lot of old mines, old shafts, old towns, old buildings. And some people still go up there and pan for gold. And, you know, probably don't get too much, but it is available. But going on. Villa's second home, giant shop, tasting room, winery, kitchen, and gift shop adjacent to an event site with ponds and lush gardens. 5 acres of Cabernet and 3 acres of Syrah with room for expansion. Horse setup, 37 acres surrounded by deer-proof fencing. Well, that's good, although deer can probably jump over a mountain if they want to. Minutes to historic downtown Sonora, all equipment included. Treat yourself to a tour of this lovely estate. And again, it doesn't give a price, I guess, if you have to ask. Colibri Ridge Winery and Vineyard. Here's another winery up for sale. 21.3 acre, 5.8 acres of vineyard, 3,600 square foot winery building, tasting room, equipment included. Tempranillo, Syrah, Primitivo, and Bourgogne. It's Colibri Ridge, that's up in the foothills of California in that area there. And the last one for you, a large Mendocino County vineyard. Vimark Vineyards is owned and well-farmed by the Trion family. Location is 10200 West Road. Total acres are 200, with 126 planted acres and a bare land hillside parcel for winery site or to build a home with views. The 126 acres are planted approximately one-half red variety and one-half white. Grapes recently sold to major Sonoma County wineries. $900,000 plus gross income in 2013. 3 reservoirs, 2 homes, and the building site are included. The vineyard is located 5 minutes off Highway 101 on a paved county road, priced to sell at $3,150,000. Which actually isn't too bad when you consider, if you know, they brought in $900,000 plus gross income in 2013. With those vineyards, I mean, if you continue selling your grapes until you get everything up and running, then start doing your own, that's a good deal. I mean, you've got things planted and all that. So there you go. That's our real estate section for tonight. You know, we never have came up with a real estate, you know, theme song or music or something. We need to do that. So,
okay.
You got something? No. Maybe, of course you do. You're a DJ. You do DJ things every Friday and Saturday night, so... of course.
A real estate song. Okay.
Yeah, like a real estate song. Yeah, whatever you can find. So there's our real estate for this session. A couple other quick news here, and then I got some interesting things to pass on to you tonight. Things I've picked up. Sustainable changes. Boy, and you know, I was going to look this up and I forgot. Snoqualmie. Or so call me Snoqualmie. Snoqualmie, I believe. Winery introduced new packaging for its entire line, featuring a contemporary new look. Snoqualmie redesigned packaging also embodies the winery's commitment to fostering a sustainable environment. It includes a sustainable packaging material such as lightweight glass bottles that weigh 397 grams, which is about 25% less than your average wine bottle, which is pretty cool. I don't know. It says they requires less fuel to transport it, resulting in 13% reduction in carbon emissions. The labels and other printed materials are made from 100% post-consumer waste material stock. The corks and labels are certified by the Forest Stewardship Council, and the corks are certified by the Rainforest Alliance. Wow, they went big time on this. Good for them. So Snoqualmie's new labels also feature a visual of the mountain pass that serves as the gateway to Washington wine country. As part of its new packaging, Snoqualmie Snoqualmie, I think. Also simplified as tiers of wine to make it easier for consumers to identify on the shelf. This includes renaming the Naked line, N-A-K-E-D, Naked line, to ECO, and color-coding each tier to create new, clear differentiations. So, cool. Good for them. Rineries going sustainable like that and stuff. There's some around here. We've talked to some and all that. It's always cool to know that they're out there doing that. 100 years in the making. This is a Rosa Brut Nature Rosé Malbec. It's a distribution. It's from select markets, into select markets, didn't say particularly where. Wine importer Cabernet Corporation introduced Rosa Brut Nature Rosé Malbec to the U.S. market. Featuring notes of cherry, plum, and strawberry, the sparkling wine was crafted by Spanish winemaker Velasco de Bocadino, I think. I probably destroyed that name. Using grapes from his 100-year-old Malbec vineyard in Argentina. A 750 milliliter bottle is a suggested retail price of $19.99. That sounds good. I'm always telling people, go out and buy your sparkling wines. Get your sparkling wines and drink them. And there's one right there for $20, made with 100-year-old vineyards, Spanish. But look for the sparkling wine. They don't call it a cava, dude. That's unusual, because Spanish is cava, is your sparkling wine for Spanish wines. Got some information to pass on to you tonight. Got some stuff here that I've been looking at, and I found some things that were really pretty interesting. So I am going to share some thoughts and different things with you here. My grandson sent me a thing which I thought was really pretty cute. I'm going to share this with you right off the beginning here. My grandson is 18? No, he's not 18 yet. He'll be 18. He's 17. He'll be 18 at the end of this year. But he sent me a, is this it? No, that's not it. Well, don't you hate it when it does that? Mike and I were just talking before the show came on about my computer problems. I'm having all sorts of computer issues, and it's just driving me a little bit nutsy. But this is one of the reasons here, because of the slow download and stuff like that. And I don't know if it's because of the computers, if it's because of our connections or what it is, but whatever it is, it drives me batsoid. Well, let me skip that for a second while that thing is loading, and let's see if we can't get something else here to pop up so I can talk about that. Here it is.
Did you hear
right.
about the? Did you hear about the Prosecco wine bottles that
Prosecco?
Were being recalled? Yeah.
No, I haven't heard that. Good.
There was a news item. I saw it on I think our local Fox channel or something. It was online on their website, but apparently Prosecco wine bottles were recalled because they can explode.
Wow!
I guess that's too funny, but they said that it was. And I just pulled up the article here while you were having computer issues, but I was looking at it, and they said a Scranton wine importer and an Italian producer agreed to recall more than 2,300 cases of wine after a handful of bottles exploded in Pennsylvania wine and spirits shops. And they said the bottles are indigenous selections Prosecco Brut 2013. And they broke as the store clerks were opening the cases, and the box openers, I guess, struck the bottlenecks. And so now there's a big thing there. The Liquor Control Board was involved in it, obviously, and
Pennsylvania,
Yep. And they said they advise consumers who have a bottle to use caution when handling and dispose of it as soon as possible. Refunds are available from the state stores. We all know about Pennsylvania state stores.
Yeah, we do.
And it's not the fault of the wine or anything, but rather with the bottle and the construction of it. So,
Wow.
Very interesting. There's a that happened just recently. I think it was published the Times Tribune yesterday, and it's been in the news. I guess a couple of, I don't forget what how many days ago, but I ran across that and I was like, I wonder if that's still available out there. But yeah, I found out an article from yesterday. So anyway, be careful with it and.
A good find. Yeah, I didn't hear about
exploding
that.
Bottles.
That's very good. Yeah.
Exploding bottles. That's okay.
Yeah, with the champagne or the prosecco, which is Italian champagne, or Italian sparkling wine. All that pressure in the bottles. So if the bottles are a little thin or something, or in the neck, that would cause a problem. So wow.
Yeah, that was something. Did your computer?
Yeah, I did. It it gave me what I wanted here. But that was a good find.
Cool.
Very good. Thanks. My grandson sent me a thing called the Periodic Table of Wine, which is cool. It's a little chart made up like the periodic table of elements. If you're familiar with that, if you're not, then go back to high school science and check that out. But periodic table of wine, it just is divided into four sections. On the left, it's got white wines, and they've got like RI for Riesling, ZW for white Zinfandel, SO for Suave, MT for Müller-Thurgau, TR Trebbiano, F and a small B for Fumé Blanc, BW, B with a small W for white Burgundy, B, capital with a small B for white Bordeaux. Just cool stuff there. On the red side, they have all sorts of stuff. BA, Barbarusco. BR, small R for Barbera. M, small B for Malbec. CF, Cabernet Franc. Where's Cabernet Sauvignon? There it is. Way down the bottom corner. C with the small Cabernet Sauvignon. LB, Lambrusco. Then they have a sparkling wine section. AS, Astis Bramanti. SK for Sect. CB for Cava. And CH for Champagne. Then the dessert and fortified. SA, Sauterne. BM, Black Muscat, BY, Brandy, CG, Cognac, MD, Madeira, SY, Sherry, and PT, Port. But a cool little periodic table of wine. That's sort of cool. I noticed this right before we came on the air, and I thought, wow, what a cool little thing. If you want a copy of it, email me on our Facebook page, and I'll forward a copy to you. But it is. It's just a pretty cute little thing of periodic table of wine. So I hope I can email it to you if I can figure out how to get it from here to you. All right. A blog asks, cork versus screw cap, a poll. And it says, do you think the winery should replace corks with screw caps? The debate has gone on for decades, and yet the conclusion remains elusive. Try asking anyone in the wine world, and they should move from cork to screw cap, and you're bound to get an opinion, most of the time not a good one. Members of this blog were asked through the social media and then different industry groups, do you think wineries should replace corks with screw caps? And the findings? 75% or 75.93%, or let's call it 76%, respondents said no, they should not replace corks with screw caps. 24.7% in 07 or 24% said yes, it doesn't make a difference. Several people thought that they ought not to be yes or no debate, making it clear that the commentary is both on Poll Daddy and social media. The group felt the choice between cork and technology demanded flexibility and dependent on the winery, the wine, and the reason for people's preference. The comments ranged from all over the place. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes, it is good. Of course, the inevitable comments about TCA contamination were brought up, and so screw caps are not going to create a TCA problem. But then again, I have read in the past where using screw caps for any length of time, you're going to end up with a little bit higher SO2 levels in your wine. I don't know. It's a debatable point, but they've done a couple of things. I read said it will. Let's face it. Most of the time, you're going to drink the wine before it goes bad anyway, so it really doesn't make a whole big difference what type of closure you're going to stick on your wine. And people are accepting a screw cap as well as any other closure. People don't worry about it too much anymore, I don't think, especially in the wines that are going to be consumed within a short period of time, which most wines are. So the debate continues, but 75% said no, don't be, or 76, don't be switching out cork for a screw cap. It just doesn't work that way. This was interesting. Vineyards are a $4.4 billion industry in California. Billion. And a major source of tourism, obviously. How many people walk in, if you're in the wine business, listen to this, how many people walk into your winery and say, oh, I've been to Napa, or any other of the many areas in California that do have wines, which is pretty much the whole state. But in one swath of Los Angeles County, there's now a law pending that would ban any new vineyard plantings. It's not just vineyards, but it's also avocados, rutabagos, and any other type of agriculture. Last month, the County Board of Supervisors approved a plan that would ban new vineyards in the Santa Monica Mountains, which is west of Los Angeles, if you're not familiar with it. Most of the estimated 50 vineyards already there would be grandfathered in, but they say you can't plant anymore. It's part of the new Malibu AVA. There's only about 15,000 cases of wine produced annually in that area, but there aren't any well-known names. It's just an area that, as is many areas in this country, serve local people and don't get out of it too much. But still, the move is surprising. California, where grapes are the second most important agricultural product behind, and this is surprising here. In California, grapes are the second most important agricultural product behind, and what do you think it is, Mike? Behind what? What would be the first most important agricultural product money-wise in California?
I was thinking something else. I can't think it, oranges would be, because we're oranges.
My engineer in the background said artichokes. No. It's milk.
Milk?
Milk. Milk. Milk is the most important agricultural product in California. Grapes are number two.
Wow.
I that's what this article says. I mean, if it's found on the internet, it must be true. So, that shocked me. Milk is the number one thing. But that's, we're all about wine. But that surprised me there. Don Schmitz, owner of the wine brand Malibu Solstice, is organizing opposition to the commission. And he said, not at risk of losing his vineyard, but it doesn't make any sense. Vineyards use less water, less fertilizer, and have less environmental impact than any other form of agriculture. So why would you stop a vineyard from being, especially if it's such a big business? The main proponent of the ban is County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky, who has championed environmental issues since he was elected in 1994. Don't you think it's time to retire, Zev? Zev wrote in his blog, he would prohibit new commercial vineyards because of the serious impact on water quality in our streams, beaches, and the Santa Monica Bay. The policy prohibiting new vineyards would also prevent the loss of sensitive habitat and concerns over industrial spraying of pesticides. It's still up for a final vote, and they don't know what's going to happen. They're still on there. But
are they
banning vineyards.
Are they trying to say then that cows are cleaner than vineyards?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I've driven past a few vineyards in Georgia and Florida, and it doesn't smell anywhere near as bad as a cow patty farm or whatever.
Yeah, I know. If you've ever driven by big stockyards or big feeding lots, you can smell them miles away. Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah.
So
Kansas comes to mind.
Me too.
Yeah, never had that issue with at a vineyard.
Yeah, I know. But I won't say it won't pass because this country's done a lot of dumb things, but that's just amazing. They're talking about talking about banning vineyards. Here's something that's interesting. Red wine without sulfites. Without sulfite. Now, sulfites are a natural byproduct of fermentation because of the process that it goes through and all this. Char Hansen. I don't know if that's an abbreviation for anything or what. I don't know, but that's only how they refer to his name all the time here. With my apologies to him, Charles, I guess, maybe Charles abbreviation, but they never spell it out. But Mr. Hansen claims a new culture he has is a fantastic launch that will increase the speed and predictability of malolactic fermentation and remove the need for producers to use sulfites as a preservative. He's working with Professor Marette Dutot from the university. He said that for 3 years, the progress from first discussion to isolating the strain in the fields with the wineries and the launch. Last year, they worked with 8 wineries to conduct field tests using the strain in warm climate regions, southern France, Spain, Italy. And they said they've had outstanding outcomes. Viniflora Nova is a new generation of the bacterium that they use, especially suited for making red or rosé wines in warm climate conditions, whereas the previous cultures were known lactic acid bacterium. It says traditionally, malolactic fermentation is introduced following alcoholic fermentation, but he said that process is difficult and entails a harsh environment for single cells, and so therefore winemakers use sulfites. He said now, since there's no ethanol alcohol in the grape juice, as the yeast hasn't started to transform the sugars into alcohol, the company claims that the process also bioprotects the wine in warm climates and protects it from mold, yeast, and other spoilage bacteria that can degrade the quality of the acetic acid and stuff. Using Nova, which is their coin term for the new bacterium, it takes just a week to 10 days maximum to ferment and stabilize the wine. He claims that Nova removes the need for winemakers to use sulfites anymore during the winemaking process. He says, and I quote, "We've shown customers that in trials, although they were reluctant to try it initially," he said, "by inoculating the grape must with Nova," that's N-O, capital V-A, Herbert says, "winemakers can tackle other microorganisms present there simply via competition for nutrients." So it's delivered frozen, and it says it's no more expensive than any other culture, and it costs around 2 cents a liter of wine to produce, which is really pretty cheap. Says in France and generally in Europe, people are producing low or no sulfite wine and they have issues with contamination. The Nova will stop that. Sulfites in wine are an important issue for consumers with both the U.S. and Europe, and it's mandatory to label sulfites. Around 10 parts per million is the general threshold. Normally, most wines are above this if you follow the classical production method used over the past 40 to 50 years. But there are more and more companies and wineries that want to produce with levels far lower than that. And there's clearly a consumer-led demand for fewer preservatives in food and beverages in general. So, yay. Interesting. You know, I'm always questioning this sulfite issue. The amount of sulfites in wines are really rather low, 40, 50, 60 parts per million. If you keep it down to 10, which is, you know, a general threshold, like you just said here, 10 parts per million, that's not much. But the number of people actually allergic to sulfites is really, really small. Why are we so concerned about it? Well, because the government, their infinite wisdom, makes us put it on the labels of the bottles, and so everybody's concerned about sulfites. But, you know, I don't know. I think the sulfite issue is a little, personally, I think it's a little overblown. But, you know, I'm sure there are people out there who disagree with me. I mean, a bottle of wine has a lot of different chemicals. We talked about this to different wineries and stuff, over 350 different chemicals in a bottle of red wine. So, you know, 10 parts per million sulfites, I don't know. But they're coming up with a way to make it without sulfites. The wine I am enjoying tonight, I got to share this with you, is Alamos. This is a Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina, vintage 2013. It is really pretty good. I'm quite impressed with this. It's got some good rich colors, nice flavors, just enough acid in it to balance it well. It says the Alamos vineyards of Mendoza, Argentina, lie in the foothills of the Andes Mountains, which I think just about every vineyard in Chile does in Argentina. Alamos wines are born of the intense mountain sunlight and pure snowmelt water of the Andes and embody the richness of this rugged, remote region. Cultivated by the Cantina family for over 100 years, Mendoza's vineyards are among the highest in the world. Alamos Malbec displays dark cherry and blackberry flavors with a long, lingering finish. This balanced and full-flavored wine is excellent with grilled meats and vegetables. It is. It's got some good dark colors to it. I'm picking up dark cherries. I'm not picking up the lighter cherries, but dark cherries and a little bit of blackberry. Hint of the dark flavors that you pick up in the darker wine. It's very nice, though. It's rather inexpensive. I think it was $12, $13. So nice wine for the price. This was interesting. This is a new study. It says, does a wine's terroir really matter? The word is pronounced roughly like terroir, and it's French. It means the conditions in which wine grapes grow, which vineyards they grow in, what kind of sunlight they get, what the water is like in that region. Wine enthusiasts say terroir makes a big difference in the final taste of a wine, but the rest of us pretty much think, it doesn't make a big deal. The French are always saying the terroir is important, but most people in the world, and except for the French, don't really care too much about, you know, worrying about terroir. And that's, you know, that's a broad statement on my part. I really have to qualify that. Most people are drinking wines. We've talked to a lot of wineries and all that who are really quite, you know, into the terroir of their regions there, although we don't call it that because actually there's no word in the English language that matches that. But a new study examining the chemistry of wines from France's Burgundy region has found there are differences in otherwise similar wines grown in different terroirs. The team collected grapes and wine from two vineyards over 3 years, 2010, 2011, and 2012. The chemist analyzed their samples, separating the chemicals in the wines and measuring the masses of the molecules they gathered. They found statistically significant differences between the products they analyzed. Some of the differences were associated with the year the grapes were grown, meaning that in some ways, all the 2010 grapes and wines were alike to each other, even though they were made in different vineyards, and so on with the 2011 wines and 2012s. But other differences really were associated with the different vineyards, regardless of vintage. And that's an interesting point on vintage. It shows you that, you know, all the wines in that region, the vintage does make a difference. So those of you out there who are not familiar with vintage on a bottle, that's the date on the bottle. That's the year the grapes were picked. And from this study here, it shows that it pretty much tells you, yeah, it's going to be similar in an area that's going to be the same. It said also, which wine chemicals are affected by terror? That's a question for another study. The wine analyzing team members write in a paper they published about the work in the journal PLOS One. Their techniques gave them guesses about which chemicals matter, but they'll need to do more analysis to name the chemicals for sure. So in other words, they just sort of backed off of it. Why identify wine's terror with chemistry? The team doesn't answer that, but we've seen a few useful alcohol analysis here and there, including an analysis of some beer found in an early 1800s shipwreck. However, it seems experts identified the wines found in the same shipwreck not by their chemistry, but by the appearance of their bottles and corks. So, yes, there is a difference. Terroir does make a difference. Scientifically, they haven't went into it in depth yet. It's still a progress in study, but there is a difference. Terroir does make a difference, and as does vintages and stuff. So there's your question. What difference does it make? Well, it does make it. To be specific, I don't know yet, because they haven't came out with a final report. That was out of Poplar Science, by the way, that last little article read you there. We talked a while back about the Corvin wine device. Corvin, I don't know if y'all remember. This is the device that you can stick like a needle into the cork and extract wine, get wine out of it, and then remove the needle and the cork naturally seals up itself. So you're not really letting air into the bottle. You're basically just pulling out the wine and leaving the wine and the quality of it intact. And it's a good deal. People, you know, they're saying that this is fantastic. This is wonderful. A lot of different places I've seen it advertised. It's grabbed a lot of people's attention. When it came out in 2013 last year, it actually came out because a medical device inventor by the name of Limbrecht. What's his first name here? I'm trying to find it. Oh, Greg. Greg Limbrecht was a medical device inventor, and he was developing a tool for regularly accessing blood through a needle inserted into the skin when he realized that a similar device could penetrate a cork. So a thin, hollow needle goes through the cork, and a small pump pressures the bottle with argon gas, which causes wine to flow through the needle into the glass. The cork reseals itself once the needle has been removed, and the argon prevents oxygen from coming into contact with the wine. Yay! Okay, so a great thing. Everybody loved it and all that. And so it was fantastic, but they have halted the sales on this item, the Corvin, and issued a safety advisory urging people to stop using their Corvin devices for the time being. The company issued the advisory after it received 7 reports of bottles rupturing while the device was extracting wine. In one incident, a bottle broke near a consumer's face, cutting their lip and chipping a tooth. As soon as we heard about the risk, we put a warning out and told you not to use it, said Craig Lampart, the inventor. The company issued a warning in February, sharing pertinent information with the flaw, and it could cause problems. It has halted sales until it begins including a neoprene sleeve that fits over the bottles and prevents any problems. So you just put this little sleeve over the top of it, and so if it does rupture, it's not going to injure you or cause any problems. They're testing the neoprene sleeves now to be sure that they're easy to use and unlikely to rupture, and it is going from there. It says the Corvin exerts 22 to 26 pounds per square inch of pressure. Bottles are normally designed to burst at pressures that are some anywhere between 6 to 10 times that. But not if they have Prosecco champagne in it, huh? They burst pretty easy. We just had Mike tell us. The company has attempted to mimic the food, the kind of damage described in the reports, but we couldn't make any of the bottles break, he said, although we've been trying every which way. Faced with several reports of problems, however, the company took action. The executive, they said that they estimated one out of every 78,000 bottles is at risk of fracture. One risk is a manufacturing flaw in bottles, unmelted glass, which can cause a stress concentration or big bubbles in the glass. One in every 78,000 bottles. So they are recalling them, stopping sale. If you have yourself a Coravin wine extractor, then don't use it. I don't know what the procedures are, if they're just saying don't use it or continue to use it and take your chance or whatever. But comments on this, there's five comments on this. Most everybody says, hey, you know, never had it. I've loved it. I've used it over and over. One guy says one in $78,000. Just issue a warning and tell people to keep it away from their face. So, yeah, hey, just to let you know if you have that. They're neat little instruments, though, and I want to pass it on to you. I saw one. I didn't see one in use, but I saw one at the store, and a little bit expensive. This is something that is really quite interesting. We've always talking about the benefits of wine and what wine can do for us and all that, and all the good stuff of wine. Well, this article, as soon as I can, okay, here we go. This article talks about an occasional glass of wine may protect against loss of sight in later life. Although heavy drinking is associated with poor eyesight, the odd tipple could be more beneficial than complete abstinence. It may lower the risk of developing debilitating sight loss problems such as age-related macular degeneration, which is expected to affect 700,000 people by 2020. That's rather ironic, 2020, we're talking about eyes. Researchers from the University of Wisconsin examined the relationships between visual impairment and three lifestyle behaviors: smoking, drink alcohol, and staying physically fit. Those who consumed alcohol but had less than one drink per week were 49% less likely to develop vision problems within a 20-year period than those who never drank. A glass a week will give you almost 50% less chance of not developing vision problems. Regularly exercising for at least three times a week was also found to lower the chance of vision impairment by 58%. So if you exercise and have a glass of wine a week, that's over 100% chance that nothing will go wrong with your eyes. The Dr. Ronald Klein, yeah, I know, that was a joke. Dr. Ronald Klein, lead researcher for the study, said that while age is usually one of the most strongly associated factors for many eye diseases that cause visual impairment, is a factor we cannot change. But behaviors like smoking, drinking, and physical activity, however, can be altered. So it is promising in terms of possible prevention that a glass of wine a week can help prevent eye problems, particularly macular degeneration. So, cool beans. If you have no other reasons to drink a glass of wine or so a week, that is probably the best I heard of. The research was published in the journal Ophthalmology. So, you can check that out in the journal Ophthalmology. Cool. I was excited about that when I read that. There's something here that was also not good. It's just one that was not good. No, not that. Thank you.
I don't know if you got my my Skype message, but it is lightning pouring down rain right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know if I'll keep it online, but yeah, we'll try it.
If I lose you, then that's why.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I had an article here, and I can't find. No, I saved it down. I went on this earlier, and I popped everything down into my, reduced everything, and so I can just pop everything right back up. And there was an article here about resveratrol, the good thing in red wines causing problems in fetuses. And, don't get me wrong, it's not talking about women drinking a whole lot or anything like that, because a lot of doctors do recommend wine during pregnancy. They're saying it's not harmful, and it's okay if you, do a glass of wine or something during pregnancy. But this article, it's not here. For some reason, it disappeared. It's talking about how resveratrol is causing problems in fetuses, which is definitely not a good thing. So, here's another quick thing I want to talk about here: GMOs. And I want to do more. I don't think I can. I want to do more research on GMO in grapes, but basically grapes are genetically modified to be what they are. They're genetically modified. They're crossbred, and they're different things like this. So you would almost have to say technically wine is a genetically modified organism, genetically modified product, because a lot of grapes have been genetically modified through crossbreeding and stuff like that. These are different things. Although, I don't know. It's a sticky point. But this article, California lawmakers reject bill requiring labeling on GMO. Again, this was just done a week and a half, a couple of weeks ago. But for the second time in 2 years, it's failed to pass the state lawmakers. They are saying that people want to know what they're doing. Vermont is requires GMO labeling on all their products, and California presented it again, and it didn't pass again. In 2012, they tried to pass it, and it was narrowly defeated before the voters and all that. PepsiCo and Monsanto Company is a chemical agriculture and biotechnology corporation, did a major funding blitz to stop that. More than 60 countries around the world have adopted GMO labeling, with supporters saying genetically modified organisms found in some food ingredients like soy and corn pose a threat to human health. I don't care. I'm not going to get into the debate. Everybody has their opinions on that stuff and everything. I'm not going to get into the debate. The point being in GMOs, grapes. Are grapes fall into that category, or don't they? If anyone out there listening, if you have a comment on that or something, email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And let me know some comments out there on this genetically modified grapes, because basically they are. We've had guests on who have mentioned that before, that grapes are pretty much modified. And we've had others that say, no, they're not, they're natural. And, the debate is, too, GMOs are mankind helping up the natural evolution, maybe. I don't know. We won't get in to that part of it either. But GMO, I don't know. If you have a comment or something about it, let me know again at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. and let me know. If you have any links or something talking about grapes in the GMO controversy, let me know. So I don't know. That's it. AFRN, thanks for listening. We appreciate you taking your time out to listen to us. And if you have any subjects or anything that you'd like to talk about, email me. I'll be happy to check it out for you. And very happy to have AFRN as part of our listening audience. It's great. I used to listen to AFRN years ago when I was in Vietnam. That used to be, we'd have it just about everywhere. So thanks for listening and thanks for tuning in. And so the GMO thing, I don't know. I just, it's something that I can't find anything on grapes, though. I've tried to search and I've tried to find stuff on it, and I haven't been able to find anything on grapes and the GMO aspect of grapes. So, now, oh well. So, that's let me see. I think I have one more thing here I want to address. Yeah, right here. They did a Texas raisin tasted blind against California and France tasting. They did a tasting in Texas. Reported that the raisin grape does well in Texas climate and soil and pondered whether it is the next breakthrough Texas grape. Well, they did a wine tasting. And I won't go into this whole article. If you want to check out the article, it's from Texas Wine Trail magazine at texaswinetrail.com. And you can find it there, texaswinetrail.com. But the article goes on and it talks about the matchup of the California and French raisin against the Texas. And they gave the rank and the results of that tasting here. And let me run through this quickly here. Just and you can check out the whole article. It's not real long, but I don't want to spend the time with it now. But number one was a 2012 Arch Oswell Vineyard THP, and THP is Texas, stands for Texas High Plains. An AVA, Texas High Plains, $23.95, and it was from the Oswald Vineyard. Number two, 2012 McPherson Cellars Reserve, Texas High Plains, $18. Number three, 2012 Bushy Creek Oswald Vineyard from Texas, $24.99. Number four, a 2012 Arch VR Oswald Vineyard, Texas High Plains, $43.95. Number five, a 2012 McPherson Cellars, Texas, $14. Number six, a 2011 Dom La Croix, Vin de Pays de Monteron, 1975. This was the highest ranking non-Texan wine in the group. It came in at number six. Number seven, a 2012 Barking Rocks, Texas High Plain, $20. Number 8, 2013 Eden Hill Vineyard, Oswald Vineyard, Texas High Plain. Number 9, a 2012 Callis Winery from Texas High Plain, $22.17. Number 10, a 2012 Eden Hill Vineyard, Oswald Winery, Texas. At number 11, the first one from California, 2012 Savona Estate, Amador County, $16.99. This was the second non-Texan one and the highest-ranking California one in this blind tasting. And then number 12 was also the third non-Texan wine. It was the 2011 Donkey and Goat from Stone Crusher, El Dorado, $32.99. So just an amazing blind tasting there. This is Texas. It's really a shame that we can't get more Texas wines around the country. It like we talked to a couple of people from Texas, and they all said the same thing. Texans drink the Texas wine, and so there's really not a lot to go around. So that's too bad, because I'd really love to be able to run down to the store and pick up some of these Texas wines. They seem like they are phenomenal. So, but That was the last one. I'm going to read you tonight, and I'm going to get caught up on that stuff. Just some things things I wanted to share with you. It's been a while since I dug into that stuff. But again, I remind you, if you want that periodic table of wine, send me an email. I'll send you out a link to it or a copy of it or whatever. You can go into the All About Wine Facebook page. In fact, that's a good idea. I'll have my engineer post it on the Facebook page for me, and she can put it there, and y'all can check it out there too. That's All About Wine BTR Facebook page. All About Wine BTR. So that's it. We're done for the week.
Very cool.
Again, have yourself a very, very good first day of summer coming up this Saturday. If you're listening to it before Saturday, happy first day of summer. If you're not listening to it and you're listening to him, then hope you're enjoying your summer.
Yeah.
First day of summer. Longest day of the year. Yeah.
Wow. Already.
Already.
Now, you're, this weekend is a...
It's a quiet weekend. Well, actually, we've got people scheduled to come out and all that, but it's a quiet weekend.
Right. Okay. I wasn't sure. Okay. Well, very cool. I took a bunch of notes again and get that all saved up. So we'll go ahead and I guess we can close out. I don't have any other announcements or anything.
No, nothing here.
No news things. Okay. We'll close this out, and we'll see you all next Thursday. It's just after 8 p.m. now, Eastern Time. We'll see you next Thursday on the 26th of June. And so join us then, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Usually it lasts an hour, hour and a half, depending. And, again, if you'd like to be a guest on the program, please get in touch with us. That information is at the end when I do the outro theme or whatever at the very end. So, use that, email us, contact us however you can, and let us know you want to be a guest on the show. We're still looking for real estate, someone who's involved in real estate for wineries and vineyards. Contact us. We'd love to have you as a guest, maybe a regular type of thing. And, you know, what a great way to a medium that you should be using at your disposal right now.
That's right.
You know, it's there.
And
so
it's free.
It. Yes. And, so get involved and get the word out, you know, about what you have. So real estate agents, that was close. Also, wineries, if you're, there's a lot of people out there tuned in. Doesn't necessarily have to be Texas. I think we'll be moving on from there pretty soon.
Pretty
so.
Soon, yeah, because Texas is just not. Oh, Amazing Grace Vineyards. We did an amazing, we talked to Amazing Grace Vineyards a while back. They're located in New York. And this weekend, they are having lasagna and wine. Delicious homemade lasagna featured at the Summer Wine Tour in the tasting room. You can get lasagna and wine. They have a picture of it on their website. And, oh, my gosh, it makes your mouth water just looking at this thing. Check out Amazing Grace Vineyard and Winery. The picture's there. But they have a fruit and cheese plate, cheesy bruschetta, Caesar salad, Maya's maple melody ice cream sundae, homemade cheesecake with wine reduction sauce, the meal deals, lasagna, garlic bread, salad, and a glass of wine or dessert for $12.50. Oh, my, it looks so good. So, homemade maple wine ice cream they have. So, Amazing Grace, any of you up there in that northeastern part of the United States this weekend, great way to go visit them and tell them you heard about it from All About Wine. So,
sounds great.
Yeah,
it. Sounds wonderful. All right, we will go ahead and close it down again, and we'll see you all next Thursday, the 26th, right here on Blog Talk Radio or however you're listening to us. Tune in next week. And we'll see you again. Thanks for tuning in to All About Wine. Have a great week, and don't forget to enjoy lots and lots of wine. So,
Thank you all very much.
Take care. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at @TheAFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.